Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on AWFradio.com. Before we get to Dorsey Hager, just want to mention, well, I say elections matter. Check this out. The governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, who's a Democrat, just signed legislation sponsored by union member elected officials. This happened last week. That will allow the state to issue stop work orders when employers fail to meet prevailing wage standards. In order to lift the order, the employer must agree to pay future wages at the required rate, return any back wages, and face penalties for the violation. This is just another example of the New Jersey State AFL-CIO's Labor Candidates Program, which is winning huge dividends for working families. Got a comment here from the president of the federation there, Charlie Walkenich, and he said, prevailing wage prevents unscrupulous contractors from lowballing bids and undercutting community wages with cheap, unskilled labor, and this new law will help ensure work is performed by trained workers and that those workers are rewarded fairly with their labor. Amen to that. I'll tell you, elections matter. You get the right guy in office, good things happen for workers. Let's go to our live line right now. He knows all about that kind of thing. Dorsey Hager, who's head of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, one of the many sponsors of America's Workforce. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Good afternoon and happy August Flash.
Boy, this summer's been flying by. Were you listening to that story out of New Jersey? Isn't that great news?
Yes, I was. That's awesome news. And it shows how important, like you said, elections matter and getting the right candidates elected. So that's huge. That's awesome.
Well, you've been really busy. I was trying to track down Dorsey yesterday. What were you having a little fun with the painters up here in northeastern Ohio? A little golf outing?
Yeah, so the Painters had their 14th annual patch golf outing. All the proceeds go to charity. There's people from all over the state playing in that, not just building trade leaders, but other people that work within the industry and stuff, managers, agents, organizers, reps, everything. Jim Sherwood and the guys do a great job putting that on. Was up there with some of my local guys, Harry Mullins, Chris Nagley, who represent IUPAT here in Columbus, and also head of the Ohio State Building Trades, Mike Nisley. Jeff Hunley from the Sheet Metal Workers, Jeff Carey from the Sheet Metal Workers. So it was a great time. It was a great event. Had a perfect weather day for it. So it was just awesome. What a good day. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So up at Copper Top Golf Club, give them a little shout out. So they did an incredible job putting on the event, and you know, it's just beautiful. It wasn't too hot. Nice breeze. It was a beautiful day for golf. And we raised a lot of money for some very good causes. So it was a great job. IUPAT done a great job as always.
Yeah, I'll tell you. And those guys have been really busy, too. It's a wonder that they found some time to play golf, too.
Exactly.
I want to get into this junior apprenticeship program you wanted to talk about. Now, is that something that's coming up, something that's ongoing? What's the story here?
So kind of let me start from the beginning here. So our mayor, Andrew Ginther, who's obviously a tremendous friend of the building trades, he got his start off in elected office on the school board. So his passion is really in the neighborhoods and kids and stuff like this. So when he got elected, we put together a labor advisory committee that meets with him monthly just to go over different issues in the city and things like that. And after one of the meetings, he and I were talking, and we were talking about how when there's no school in the summer, you know, a lot of kids don't have a lot to do. They miss out on some healthy meals that they may get at school. So I was talking to him about how, you know, parents send their kids off to basketball camp, vacation Bible study, science camp, stuff like that. We should do a one-week junior apprenticeship boot camp where we take middle school age kids. We send them to one of our facilities every day, a different facility every day for a week, one of our training centers, and let them get their hands dirty, you know, bending some conduit, twisting some wire, banging on some sheet metal, bricks, mixing some mud, some mortar, laying some brick, stuff like that, and tie it in with the local Columbus rec and parks, not only for the transportation, but also where they could provide food trucks in the morning and afternoon so the kids can get a healthy breakfast and a healthy lunch the week that they're involved in the camp. So we worked with the president of city council, Shannon Harden, also his chief of staff, Mike Brown, really hammered out a lot of the details over the last couple of months. And we're going to do a one-week pilot, and it's going to be August 12th to the 16th. And the kids are going to spend one day at the sheet metal workers, one day at the electricians, a day at the bricklayers, a day at the carpenters. And then on the last day, we're going to have a little graduation ceremony for them, you know, have some pizza, cake, get them a certificate. Hopefully their parents can attend. And we're going to talk to their parents, and we're going to talk to the kids individually. And, you know, if a kid went through everything and, you know, maybe he liked it, but it's not something he wants to pursue, hey, that's great. Mm-hmm. But if we have some kids that liked it and are really interested, we're going to have our training directors and our coordinators on hand where they have the ability to sit down with them and talk to them about the type of math, maybe sciences and stuff that they should be taking in high school, and the conversations they should be having with their guidance counselors. So that way, as soon as they graduate from high school, they can walk right into an apprenticeship program.
Do you see more people starting to go in that direction, Dorsey? I mean, we've been talking about this for years, and especially now with the amount of work that's available for many, many years to come. I mean, you and I have had conversation about what's been going down in Central Ohio. It's truly amazing. I see cranes around here, road, highway construction, new buildings, revamping warehouses for apartments and condos, all that. You put all that together, and I mean, things are really booming. Are they understanding that they can make a pretty decent living here doing that kind of work?
Yeah, and I think that it's just all the effort and all the outreach that we've been doing in this one-week pilot program, which I hope transforms into maybe 4 or 5 weeks next summer if all goes well. This one-week pilot program is just an example. But, yeah, and it's not just educating the kids, but it's also educating the parents and then also educating, you know, the teachers and the guidance counselors. I did an interview a couple of months ago, and I told this story, and I told it on your show, where I was at a career fair, and the father was, like, very interested in our programs because, his son was interested, and, you know, he wanted to get his son off his payroll as quickly as possible, and he liked the idea of earning while you learn and making a good middle-class wage from day one, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And the mom came over, and he was talking to the mom about it, and the mom was like, well, my baby's not going to be digging ditches for the rest of his life. Right. So, you know, we've got to do what we can to kind of relieve those stereotypes and stigmas, and that's another huge attribute of this junior apprenticeship boot camp, which Julie Machieski, who is here at the Electrical Trades, has done a tremendous job putting this together, getting people involved to teach the materials, the curriculum, putting together the budget for city council and everything and all the logistics of it. And she's a tremendous asset, not only for this, but also for our Building Futures program. So appreciative of her and all her efforts. But that's just another example of what we're trying to do, and these kids are going to come to four different training centers in the communities in which they live. And when you see some of our Building Future students come down to the Electrical Trades Center and they walk around and they see the motor control room and they see the computer lab and they see some of these great things that the IBEW has to offer here as in terms of free training, you know, they're amazed that this exists in the community in which they live and they've never known about it. So that's what we have to do. We have to get that word out more. And I am starting to see more and more people, specifically in Columbus and Franklin County, but in the Central Ohio community, taking advantage of some of these opportunities.
Yeah. Boy, you mentioned the IBEW. They are on a roll. I've been reading a whole lot about them. In fact, we're going to try to get the national leadership on the show. Because with everything that's going on with solar, the cells, the batteries, my God. And then you got to talk about the grid here, the infrastructure, which needs to be updated. I mean, there's so much out there. And these are really, really good paying jobs. So we're going to stay on this issue. In fact, if you can help us out, I'm working with the local 38 over here. I'd like to talk more about this as far as what's going to happen with the IBEW. So perhaps a little cooperation here. What do you think? We can work something out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that the IBEW is booming down here, too, with, Dustin Gockenbach and Chris Poff, their organizers. They are out daily talking to people who are wanting to better their lives. And Pat Hook and Ed Moore and Chris Evans, the other reps, are just busting their butt. And I think they're averaging about 40 new members a month down here in Columbus right now just to take care of the workload. You know, we've talked about Facebook and Google, but you got, you know, the Hilton 2.0. You got the OSU Medical Center, which is about a $2 billion project. You've got all this work coming up, and they're definitely busy. And that's another thing that appeals, I think, to a lot of young people and to people coming out of high school. You know, when we go, you know, construction's perishable. We talk about that, and has ebbs and flows and ups and downs. But when you can see a good, you know, stockpile of 4, 5, 6 years of work on the horizon, you know, barring any unforeseen circumstances, you know, people know coming in that when they're entering the apprenticeship program, there's going to be a great opportunity for year-long employment for a long time and well into the future.
Yeah, especially with all those tech companies you mentioned, like Google and Facebook, they require a whole lot of electrical infrastructure, and you need somebody qualified. Obviously, IBEW fits that role. So there's a lot of that's going on in Central Ohio, and we're seeing pockets of it here in Northeast Ohio as well. Good stuff. All right, Dorsey, got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about this poverty assessment plan of action. Also, we'll talk about organizing. Russ Choma will be joining us on behalf of Mother Jones Magazine later in the show. He's going to tell us about Trump wine. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
For over 20 years, Organized Labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for communications and events needs, because BMA knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to help unions capture market share, conduct marketing campaigns, partake in political education, promote labor management, organize membership development, and support issues such as prevailing wage, project labor agreements, responsible contracting, and workforce training. They also plan and produce special events such as conventions, conferences, and anniversary celebrations. The BMA Media Group, marketing union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit bmamedia.com. That's www.bmamedia.com for all the labor tools you need to move your union into the future.
If it impacts the livelihood of Ohio's labor trades, you'll find it in the Labor Citizen. America's oldest labor newspaper still provides the most comprehensive coverage of the issues that matter most to Ohio's union construction industry. Each edition includes information many unions use to send out in a monthly newsletter, along with an interesting mix of feature stories and news. The Labor Citizen is a growing force for Ohio's union construction industry. The full-color tabloid is already being delivered to the active members and retirees from nearly 50 different building trade unions. You won't find this level of coverage anywhere else. But the only way to have this valuable monthly publication delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trade union is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting. Or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com for more information. That email address again is info@laborcitizen.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce Broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world. Don't forget we archive everything on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Dorsey Hager, one of our sponsors here. He is with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. All right, talk to me about this, a poverty assessment plan of action out of Franklin County, which is the Columbus area. What's this all about, Dorsey?
So about a year ago, the Franklin County Commissioners put together a poverty assessment task force, kind of like a committee, and it was community leaders, business leaders, labor leaders such as myself, and we took part in these meetings and these seminars and these conferences, and it took part over about a 6-month time, and we kind of addressed what everybody knows but not very many people talk about, and that's this. We talk about all the opportunities, we talk about all the growth in Columbus and Franklin County, talk about the people moving here, but even though there's increased opportunities, the poverty level has continued to rise. and we kind of talked about some of the issues into why that is. And of course, you know, a lot of the issues are kind of basic. There's transportation issues, education, lack of job training, maybe lack of skills, you know, maybe putting people, maybe lack of communication, which we talked about earlier in a segment with some of the outreach that we're doing. Maybe people don't know about the opportunities that are out there. So the commissioners took all this information, put together a poverty assessment plan of action on how they're going to attack poverty here in Franklin County now and in the future. And one part of the poverty assessment plan that is mentioned in it, and you can go online and read it, just Google Franklin County Commissioners and you can read it, is our Building Futures program that we partner with them, and we partner with the Columbus Urban League to give members of the underserved community a opportunity to get on that direct path to the middle class. So was really happy to serve on this committee, but was really kind of surprised, I guess, that the commissioners included our Building Futures program in their plan of action to help get people into the middle class. And I was really, really proud and happy about that. So it's a tremendous opportunity for us and our members. Puts a spotlight on a program that's been very productive that we've talked about on your show. And I think it's just a great thing and a great way to help people, like we said, you know, get out of poverty or maybe get out of mid-level poverty and jump right into the middle class and start earning good wages and benefits so they can provide for themselves and their families.
Dorsey, isn't that kind of strange? It's booming. You got good things happening. But again, on the other side of the fence, you've got people that are struggling and poverty seems to be increasing. Has anybody figured that out? Why is that happening? Do we know the answer to that, or is that something that we can just talk about and speculate on?
You know, I think it's a lot that we can talk and speculate on. I think there's a lot of data that shows that kind of where you live or where you grow up has a lot to do with it. So kind of geographical and pockets of the city that have been historically, you know, underserved, you know. But again, I think some of it is some basic stuff, you know, transportation. You know, we have our fifth cohort of Building Futures right now, which removes barriers. And I talked to our guy that runs the program, Leland Bass, over at the Urban League, and he had three of the students yesterday, and he was taking them out and helping them get serviceable cars so that when they complete the program, they can get to work. So transportation is one issue, and the personal freedom that transportation provides, and the employment freedom as well, which is huge, especially in our industry. You know, education is big. I think for a while in Columbus City Schools, we had superintendents that we're constantly harping and preaching college, and that's great, and everybody should have the opportunity to go to college, but we weren't educating kids or training kids on how to be employable or how to step right into the workforce right after high school if they weren't going to college or if they couldn't afford to go to college. So I think that was an issue. You know, the job training, the job skills, and then if the people have the training and the skills, you know, putting them with that mentor or that community partner or that person within an industry that can help get them on that path to the middle class, like our Building Futures does and our apprenticeship programs, I think that's an issue. And, you know, we have some other issues there, too, that I've talked to the commissioners about and that we're working on with City Council. We'll talk about in future shows. You know, we have issues with wage theft. We have issues where maybe we can strengthen some fair contracting and some purchasing power for the city and the county so that way that there's not a race to the bottom and that unscrupulous contractors or customers aren't taking advantage of taxpayer dollars and city and county resources. You know, because in any climate, it doesn't matter if it's local, it's statewide, federal, when there's a downturn in the economy or when somebody is struggling and being taken advantage of, it's never somebody at the top of the food chain. It's always people at the bottom of the food chain, the people that are making the least amount of money, which can't take care of themselves or you know, defend themselves. And you know, that's what we as unions do on a daily basis. We don't only represent our members, but we give a voice for everybody in the working class and for labor, you know, to help them step up and get what they rightly deserve so they can provide for themselves and their families.
Amen to that. Labor lifts all boats, no doubt about it, no doubt. Okay, one more issue here, organizing. What's this all about, an organizing committee that's being formed?
Yeah, so when I first took over about 5 years ago, we decided to put together an organizing committee to give our organizers and our reps that are out every day, boots on the ground, hitting jobs, talking to people that aren't represented by our labor unions, and also, you know, to attack some of these issues that we talked about, like wage theft and stuff like that. So we've got a tremendous, tremendous committee. And when we started 5 years ago, we had a handful of guys participated, you know, did great job and had some productive, you know, things. Now our monthly meetings, we're getting right around 20 to 25 guys. We're doing organizing outreach events. We're doing mass job visits. We're looking at job actions together, coordinated, so that way we can get our voice out and help people. Just a tremendous asset. You know, Scott Emmerich, who was my organizer with the Insulators, is on the committee, does a great job getting job sites and everything. Harry Mullins from the IUPAT, who's a business agent, he's on the committee. You know, we have agents and managers on the committee too, because it's so productive and it's such a great thing. You know, we have some people on the district council level, like Mike Engbert from the laborers, who does a lot of research for us and stuff. We just do a really good job. And our next thing that we're going to do is we're going to try to capitalize or highlight on our outreach event that we did at the Short North a couple of months ago. We were able to get a lot of people who were working in the open shop, who were kind of being taken advantage of and not being paid industry standard wages and benefits. We were able to bring them in and give them opportunities to get in the union and make good wages. And we're going to do the same thing. We're going out. We're scouting job sites in the Easton area, which is a huge shopping center, outdoor shopping center and development area in Northeast Columbus between Columbus and New Albany. We're going to go out and scout that out. Early next week, we're going to look at doing another job action where we visit a couple of job sites, invite some guys to come down, have a free lunch, maybe some pizza, maybe some burgers, and give them some information on our great apprenticeship programs and pre-apprenticeship programs and see what we can do to get them wrapped up and get them involved. And, you know, our Short North program is still – our Short North outreach event is still paying huge dividends. You know, we had some people who came in right off the street. Three who are in our Building Futures cohort right now. So you think about some of the things that we're doing to get that word out to the community, and I think this organizing committee is a huge asset that we've put together that we all put a lot of time and effort in that's helping create more opportunities for people here in Columbus and Central Ohio.
There you go. All right, lots going on. One more. We got a couple minutes left here. Just like to pick your brain. We had the debate for the Democratic candidates. On.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Yes. Any thoughts on what was said, how it was said, and moving forward with this? I know the herd's going to be thinned out shortly. I'm sure of that. But what's your opinion?
Well, Flash, in my neighborhood, you know, what we say is you're dipping your cup in the Kool-Aid and you don't even know what flavor it is, you know. So I really don't know what that means, but that was still a pretty good line. You know, I've got some people that I'm rooting for. You know, I like Tim Ryan. I wish he could get some more traction, get a little bit more airtime. I've been a Joe Biden guy for a long, long time. I was a Joe Biden guy in 08 until Obama started to pull away, and then I got on the Obama bandwagon. And I'm still kind of upset that, you know, Joe Biden didn't run in 2016, but I understood he was going through some personal tragedy with the loss of his son and stuff. And, you know, but boy, these debates, here's my problem with the debates, and I'm not going to mention the gentleman's name, but he was a Cleveland area Democrat, been in Democratic politics for a long time, was in his mid-60s, elected official in Cleveland. We were talking yesterday at the IUPAT patch outing, we were talking about at the beginning of your show, and he said that the thing is that is turning off people in the middle class, our union members, and also moderates, is almost every Democrat, and I think the party's being steered to the left by Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, but almost every Democrat is talking about free health care, you know, $1,000 for every female, mm-hmm. free college, you know, and all those things are great, and I would love for all that to happen. But they talk about it, and they don't talk about how we're going to pay for it.
Right.
And I think that those are talking points that President Trump is really going to jump on, that's going to appeal to his base, but also appeal to some of these moderates, that whoever comes out of these debates is going to have to bring along in order to win this election. And I just wish, and I know there's some out there, and unfortunately I don't want to get into it, so we only got a few minutes. We just ran into this with House Bill 6 down at the State House. You know, Democrats are supposed to be the party of labor, and when we go down to the State House, we hear Republicans, you know, constantly with these middle class talking points, you know, training, good wages, health care, great benefits. And the Democrats, it seems like, again, you know, we're talking about free college. We're talking about all these social issues that a lot of our members, you know, not that they don't care, but it's not at the top of their list of their priorities or their concerns. They want to know that they're going to have a job every day,
right,
that they can go to, that pays good wages and benefits, and that they're going to be able to retire with dignity and respect. That's the only thing that they're concerned with right
mm-hmm.
now. The
mm-hmm.
only thing that they're concerned with,
yeah.
you know? And I just, I'm waiting for one of those people to latch on to some of those middle-class values and ideals and really take hold of the electorate and propel themselves forward, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, let's be realistic for the concerns of the American worker. And that's a good point. I like that. All right, we'll see what happens. Still early, but it'll be here before you know it. You know that. All right, Dorsey, got to button it up there. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org for more information. You take care. We'll talk to you right after Labor Day. Boy, does that sound weird.
That's right. So we'll be talking about the Indians getting primed for a playoff run, and hopefully we'll be talking about an injury-free training camp and the Browns getting ready for their season opener.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You take care, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
All right.
Dorsey Hager in our live line. We're going to take a quick break. Russ Chobe on behalf of Mother Jones Magazine coming up next. You are listening to America's Workforce.